my joy to be with you. Why? Because in you, I see God. God said, let us create man in our own image. And when he created us in his own image, when we come together like this, Paul says, the invisible God, who makes himself visible through his creation. So when I see you, I see the invisible God. No one has ever seen God. No one except the Son of Man. No one has ever seen God. But when we love each other, we see God. Because in us, God demonstrated his presence. So today, my message for today, as we begin the series for the month, is good news. Good news. That's the title of the message I've been given. I wish I had come up with my own title. So I just said, okay, I'll take the title as it is given, good news. So the series, we're going to go through the book of the Gospel according to Mark. So today, I'm introducing the book of Mark, or the Gospel according to Mark. Mark, of the four Gospels, it is the shortest of them all. Very short. And those who have studied history, they are saying of the four Gospels, it is the first Gospel that was written, and the other three followed. But Mark is the first one, and it's the shortest. And because it has been the first one that was written, all the other three Gospels, they contain all they have, everything that Mark wrote, except for about 33 scriptures. But the rest of the book of Mark, you find it in the book of Matthew, you find it in Luke, you find it in John. Mark was not a disciple of Jesus Christ as one of the 12. But he was there during Jesus' time. Maybe as a youngster or a young man. The Bible says he accompanied Paul in one of the missionaries, or several of the missionaries that Paul did. And he wrote this gospel, Mark, from the stories that he was hearing more from Luke. And at the same time, when he was a missionary with Paul, he was able as well to recall about the life of Jesus. So Mark is a special book. And why is it a special book? It is a book, the historian says, of the four gospels, it is the one that is written in a chronological order, or sequences or stories, they come in an order manner. Unlike in John, unlike in Matthew, and unlike in Luke, Mark writes his gospel chronologically. And the four gospels, they are telling the story of one man, Jesus. But saying this story from four perspectives, but the same story. So that each one of us can identify himself when a story is being told from a perspective that you can resonate with. It becomes your personal story. So the gospel, according to the four guys or the disciples, they are coming from four different perspectives. John speaks of the gospel in bringing up or justifying that Jesus is the Son of God and he is God. So when you read the gospel according to John, it is an account of what Jesus is. He is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word, nothing was created without the Word. And this Word became flesh. And this Word dwelt amongst us. John 1 verse 12 says, for those who received this Word, they were given the power to be called the children of God. So John's gospel is a gospel that is written solely to bring up, to justify, himself. And when we read the book according to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, also more like supporting John, the book of Matthew, not Mark, the book of Matthew, again, it is trying to link Jesus to God. So when you read Matthew, it is the genealogy, going all the way back to Adam, justifying that this Jesus is the Jesus that God created, and this Jesus is God himself. And Matthew is writing to the Jews. John is writing to everyone, justifying who God is. Matthew is writing specifically to the Jews. And because the Jews, when you read the culture of the Jews, they like genealogies. Abraham, the patriarch. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of, and then the 12 tribes. Here are the 12 tribes. So the Jews, it is in their culture to keep genealogy. So when Matthew is writing, he's writing to the Jews, and it resonates with what the Jews expect. And when we look into the gospel according to Luke, Luke writes his gospel specifically to the Gentiles, to us, non-Jews. And Jews also included. But he is more open to writing to everyone, you and me. So when we look into the book of Luke, this is where you find stories of the lost coin, stories of the prodigal son, and other stories which are not found in the other gospels. Because these are the stories that are resonating, or he's trying to reach out to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. And when we really read the book of Mark, Mark is also specifically writing to the non-Jews, the Romans. Although as well, he is writing to the Jews. But most of his writing, Mark is directed towards the Romans. Now let's go into the book of Mark. That's why when he starts to open, we read from Mark chapter 1. He doesn't open the book or he starts like anyone else. He says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet. I will send my messenger. He doesn't start with the birth of Christ. Why? He starts in the middle and then he says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The idea why he seems like to start in the middle and not the birth of Christ and not hear about the birth of Christ in the book of Mark. He's not writing to the Jews where there's need for genealogy. Are we together?
Yes.
He is writing specifically to the Romans, to the Christians in Rome or the Romans or to the non-Jews. And now, the Romans, whenever the king was about to come, or we can look at our back in Africa, when the president is about to drive out, there are sirens. Whether to keep us out of the road or not to cause anything, I don't know. But anyway, and even here, I have seen it as well, that if there's an important person who has to go ahead, who has to go or to come past, then the police says, go ahead to herald that there's someone greater who is coming. Get out of the way. And then there are sirens. Get out of the way. And in Zimbabwe, it's an offense. If the siren rings, you don't get out of the way, and you happen to be so near when the president passes, the next you find yourself singing with mosquitoes in jail. Now, this is more or less again what is happening here. Mark is writing to the Christians in Rome. There ought to be a herald who goes ahead to prepare for an important person to follow, to come. John comes forth and says, now, it is written in Isaiah, I will send my messenger ahead of you. That's where he begins. And he says, the beginning of the gospel. Gospel means good news. Gospel from Greek is good news. So what's good about the good news? What is the good news that Mark is trying to introduce? Good news has two levels. We have good news, not the biblical good news, but our own good news. Are we together? As we are seated with each other, are you good news to one another? I'm just asking you to talk to each other. When we wake up, Barbara, when we wake up, are you good news to your loved one? Good news. Good news. Good news. I'm talking about the good news from the human point of view. When we meet each other, are we good news to one another? How do you make others feel about you when you meet? Are you good news? I hope so. Let us be good news to one another. When we are not there, you are missed. When you are there, you make people smile and love to be with you. Good news. Good news. And the most important good news that each one of us would want to hear, it's your name. I need you. Good news. When you call someone by his name, hi Barbara, good news. The most important good news that you can identify a person with is to call them their names. Live with each other through your names. Good news. How are you? How did you wake up? How did you sleep? How was your sleep? What did you dream of? What were your dreams? Can we share your dreams? Good news. Good news. The world is full of fake smiles. Are you there? People carry a fake smile, they just for the sake of relating. Hi there. The good news is we need smiles that go deeper in your hearts. Make people want to feel to be with you. Inquire about their lives. In Africa, back home, when we greet each other, I'll say to my brother, Kapolo, we just say, in South Africa, they say, Sawubona. Sawubona. Have you seen me? Sanibonani. We see each other. In Shona, we say, Mangwanani. Good morning. Ngarara say, how did you sleep? And then the response is, tarara kana marara. This is linguistic now. Anyway, let me not get you into the linguistics of language. I'm just saying, when we greet in our language, we say, how did you sleep? I slept well if you have slept well. I have slept well if you have slept well. Meaning that your sleeping well also resonates with my sleeping well. If you don't sleep well, if you haven't slept well, therefore it also means to me, I have not yet also slept well. Good news. Good news. What's your good news this morning? My good news, I've been married to this beautiful girl. We celebrated our 30 years anniversary together. We were married the 16th of April 1994. Wow. So April 16, we are still young. When I look at them, we have celebrated 50 years and I'm only at 30. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Good news. Good news. So the book of Mark is a book about good news. And the good news is Jesus is salvation. Yeah. The good news is Jesus is our salvation. Why is it so good? Why? Because trying to reach out to God. Man is striving to reach out to God. So when you look into the book of the Old Testament, the whole book of the Old Testament is man has fallen. I like what last week we were talking about. God made everything good. Man came and destroyed it. Christ comes to fix it. The Old Testament, it writes a story about now the fallen man trying to reach out to God. So everything that is done in the Old Testament, even the sacrifices, we have to bring bulls, we have to bring cows, you have to bring goats, and all sorts of things. And again, it was also segregated amongst the people. Those who were rich and able, they could bring bulls. Those who were of the middle income, they could bring goats. And those who were of no means and they didn't take, they could bring calves or the birds. That's what they could afford. So you could be seen by what you are bringing to the altar. That would like tell, okay, these are the ones that do have. And in the Jewish culture, again, when you are blessed by God, it would reflect in your riches. Riches are a result of God. And when you are poor, it means, So the Old Testament is man trying to reach out to God. And now when you come into the New Testament is man, God reaching out to us. Hallelujah. That's why this is the good news. Now, it's not man reaching out to God. It's God reaching out to us. God comes down to earth. That's the good news. Salvation. How do you get it? Salvation. So gospel, the good news is the lost man who was trying to reach out to God, now God himself said, no, I'm going down to the man and I'm reaching out to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. It is not for men so loved God. No, for God so loved. Good news. The gospel according to Mark. Now, it is so short. Why? Because this Mark is not about telling stories. Mark is not about trying to teach and explain. Mark is about demonstrating what Christ does. He demonstrates, he is writing about the actions of Christ for the reason of reaching out to men. So you will see, like if you read chapter 1 of Mark, just read from chapter 1 to the end. I like it so much. It is amazing. It is so packed to the extent that you say, wow. Number one, the action that is placed in the book of Mark. Jesus is baptized. The temptation of Jesus, the choosing of the disciples. He goes about preaching in the synagogues. He goes about healing many people. And last but not least, the last action, I like it. He goes about healing the leper. That was the message I was wanting to preach so much, but I said, oh, it is beyond the verses 1 to 20. So I need to come back. I wanted the last part, the good news. My Lord, my God. Lord, my God. If you are willing, you can make me whole. If you are willing, the leper comes to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me whole. It was not the way if you are willing to express doubt. No. No, it was not about him doubting if Christ can heal him. No. It was about himself pointing to say, oh, me, a leper, I'm supposed to be ostracized. I'm supposed to live outside the home. You know, lepers was a disease, or in Jewish culture, it is a disease that was more like a curse from God. You have sinned, therefore, you are cursed. So when you were lepers, you were excommunicated. You were ostracized. You were put outside the wall. And regardless of what you have, whether rich or poor, king or no king,
Okay, like King Uzziah. King Uzziah was the greatest king. God blessed him. For 52 years, he reigned in over Israel. And he was a good king. And God blessed him. But unfortunately, when he got the power, he felt he so good. To the extent that one day, he decided to take the incense and go to burn the incense in the Lord. And the priest followed him and says, King, that's not your role. And Uzziah tried to say, well, I'm the king. And says, no, that's not your station. Do what you're supposed to do. You are a king. And when Uzziah tried to fight back, immediately his hands, which were absorbing the incense, was and within seconds, it was on his forehead. And his whole body was all lepers. And he died. Cursed. So when you had this disease, leprosy, you were excommunicated. You were put out of other people. Even if people loved you so much, they cared about you so much. No, the moment you have leprosy, you are taken out and live outside the community. Why? Because it was a contagious disease. It was infectious. Therefore, you were not able now to subsist with other people. That's how big the disease was. And because it was contagious, you can't be touched by anyone. You can't be washed by anyone. And guess what they did? According to Leviticus, when you contracted this disease, you have to tear your clothes. You have to wear torn clothes. And walk, we don't have to shave your head. And at the same time, you have to live outside the homes. And at the same time, when people were walking, whenever anyone tried to come near you, you would shout out, unclean, unclean. Imagine. So you had the pain of isolation of living alone. That's one. Two, you have the pain of the boils, the wounds around you. So you have personal pain in terms of the wounds on you. And you have the pain of separation, of not living with your family. Leprosy. It wasn't a good disease. Now when Jesus comes, good news, hallelujah. Good news, good news. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This leper, he looked at himself and said, can Jesus heal me? Can he touch me? Because I'm a leper and I'm not even supposed to be near him. Let me tell you, yes. Jesus said, the Bible says, he was full of compassion. He let out his hand and he touched him. That was against the law. That was against what the priest would say. That was against what was generally accepted. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him. I am willing. I am willing. It reminds me of Moses. Moses, go to the children of Israel. Tell them who sent you. Just tell them, I am. Send me. I am willing. I am willing. Let me tell you, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Is willing to make a transformation and a change in your life. Maybe you are tied down with the drugs. Maybe you are struggling with alcohol. Maybe you are struggling like a leper with your own disease that is eating you inside. As we are seated here, we don't know what we are going through. Some of us, we have cancer. Some of us, we have other ailments. Some of us, we are suffering. And the Lord, you feel yourself, can God reach out to me? Can he touch me? Can he make a difference in my life? Let me tell you, good news. Good news. I am willing. I am willing. And Mark says, immediately, the guy was a leprous free. Hallelujah. You can walk out of this church today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same, Barbara, forever. He's a wonder-working God. He's still working miracles today. If only you believe. If only challenge you to say, please, let us believe in this God. He can make change in our life. Mark, I like the second part, the baptism of Jesus. Mark chapter 1 verse 9. It confirms the Trinity. This is the place where only in the Bible you see the three gods in one meeting. God who is in three meets in Mark 1, 9. It says when Jesus was being baptized, when he came out of the water, the three gods in one, the Trinity, this is where only you can see them, nowhere else. It challenges me and say, oh, this is a good God. And it says, when Jesus was baptized, when he rose up, the sky was split. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, there's the Holy Spirit, like a dove, it came down and it landed on Jesus. Now, Jesus and the replica of the Holy Spirit, or the sin of the Holy Spirit, the dove. So there's Jesus, the Son of God, who is God. The Holy Spirit of God, who is God. And then the voice of God from heaven says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The three in one. Do you see them as the way I'm seeing them? In one place altogether. In one place altogether. And why that one is so special to me. If you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, God says, let us create man in our own image. And in the image of God, he created man. I'm now about to call Genesis chapter 1, verses chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish and the sea and the birds of the air. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. And if you read in John chapter 4, verse 20, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you read in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, those who received him, they were given the power to be called the children of God, born not of flesh and blood, but born of the spirit and water. Now, we are in the image of God, not this body. No, this is a tent. This is just a carcass, and we are going to take it off, and it's going to return dust to dust. No, we are created in the image. This which you hear me speaking of, that is the image of God. Yeah. You are in the image of God. Don't let anyone look down upon you. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the stature of your body. No, that is just a jacket. That you can wear green today, you can wear red tomorrow, you can wear red. So this jacket will return to dust. But the spirit that God said, let us create man in our own image. Good news. The good news is Christ came to restore us back to the relationship with God. Hallelujah. And then we can cry out, Abba, Father, my Father, my Father. Why? If you've forsaken me. And then God says, no, I haven't forsaken you. I am willing and I'm with you. What is eating you up? What is stressing you? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He created you in his image. When he looks at you, he sees himself in you. For God is spirit. So when he looks at you, he wants you back to himself. He did not come to condemn you. He did why that temptation, it had to happen, to reverse. That temptation asked, who sent Jesus into the desert, and why? Why? After the baptism, where does Jesus go? He is led, he is taken into the desert by the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now God the Holy Spirit, he takes God the Son into the desert to be tempted of the devil. Why? Why? Let me tell you why. For death came by one man, Adam. Life everlasting comes by one man, Jesus Christ. So we had to reverse the God the Father had to reverse the mistake of a man in the Garden of Eden. And he had to redo the replica of what happened there. When Adam was tempted and he fell, and death came upon the whole earth. So that had to be reversed. How? Jesus was to be taken into the desert. And now tempted of the devil, he stood his ground. And he came out of the desert a victory. Hallelujah. Good news. Good news. He was a man tempted and found without sin. Therefore, the jinx of the Garden of Eden was reversed. That temptation had to happen. Temptation is not sin. But when you fall the temptation, that's sin. Are we together? So Jesus had to be tempted to reverse what had happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he had to be tempted and sustain his ground and say, no. And when after he conquered that temptation, imagine what says. He had stayed in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted. And the Bible says, after the temptation, the angels came and ministered to him. Hallelujah. We've won, guys. We've won, guys. Hallelujah. We've won, guys. The angels came to celebrate and minister to Jesus because they overcome what which man had fallen for in the Garden of Eden. Good news. This is the good news. This is the good news. The good news is Jesus came to overcome the death that the devil brought. So the devil, my folks, is real. He is not fiction. The devil is real and he is in our midst and he is working. But at the same time, the God also is working in our midst. If you read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, greater is he who is within us. 1 John 4, 4, greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. The devil is not fiction. The devil is there. But greater is the God who is on our side. The time has come. Let me end by saying, the time has come. There's Jesus now. Jesus on Mark chapter 1 to end verse 14. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time, verse 15, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. My Bible is words of Jesus in red. These are the words of Jesus. The time has come. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is near. Now Jesus is saying 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of God is near. How near are we now? We are not only near now, we are very, very, very near. If 2,000 years ago, Jesus preached and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. How near are we now, 2,000 years later? I want to challenge you. We are very near. We are very near. Believe in the good news. Believe in the gospel. This is the good news, that I came so that you can have life. And the name of the Father, the Son,